Hello, Bethel, and welcome back to our Matthew Bible study. Today we're picking up the story at Matthew chapter 10, and we're going to conclude chapter 10 with verses 40 to 42, and then we'll push on into chapter 11. Reading at verse 40 of chapter 10, the Lord Jesus says, "He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives the one who sent me. Anyone who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and anyone who receives a righteous man because he is a righteous man will receive a righteous man's reward. And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones because he is my disciple, I tell you the truth, he will certainly not lose his reward." The Lord Jesus had been talking throughout chapter 10 of the apostolic ministry, that these apostles of his would represent Christ, that his message and his authority would accompany them as they proclaim the gospel. And in the verses we've just read, he was explaining that when his disciples received Christ, they were receiving the one who sent Christ, the Father, and that Christ would in turn dispatch them, and that the way people treated them would be indicative of how they were in fact treating the Lord Jesus. And he summarizes in verse 42 that when people show kindness to disciples of Christ, to the apostles of Christ, because they belong to Christ, the Lord takes note of that. That's really a kindness done to Christ himself. Supporting believers because they belong to Christ is a significant way of showing our love to him. But there's also a warning in all of that. It's very dangerous in our current situation to say, in issues of controversy or conflict, that we don't accept what the apostles say. When it comes to gender roles, when it comes to gender identification, when it comes to sexual distortion, or even issues of marriage. Some people have said, "Jesus I like, but I just can't stand the writings of Paul." Or, "I embrace Jesus, but I can't agree with the Apostle Peter." Or, "I read and am instructed by the words of Jesus, but I've got no time for the Apostle John." When people take a look at the epistles of the New Testament and denigrate the teaching of the New Testament, they are breaching this principle. Because the Lord Jesus was saying that when he dispatched his disciples, his apostles, he delegated his authority to them. And that when they speak as his apostles, when they write their epistles as those who have been commissioned by Christ, what they say carries his authority. And when we ignore their authority, when we dispute their authority, when we breach that authority, we do so in a way that also ignores and breaches the authority of the Lord Jesus. And that brings us to chapter 11. In chapter 10, the Lord Jesus has been talking primarily to the 12. In fact, that's his second long discourse. His first is in chapters 5, 6, and 7, the Sermon on the Mount. His second is in chapter 10, where he gives this long extended discourse to his disciples, commissioning them as apostles. And his third will come ahead when we look at the series of parables in chapter 13. But right now we're in chapter 11, and whereas in chapter 10 he's been talking specifically to the disciples, here in chapter 11, the Lord Jesus is resuming his itinerant ministry in Galilee. When I say itinerant, I mean he's moving around. He's moving from place to place, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. Notice what it says. After Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach in the towns of Galilee. Verse 2, when John, this is John the Baptist, not the disciple John, but John the Baptist, when John heard in prison what Christ was doing, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else?" We know from the Gospels that John the Baptist had a meteoric rise as the forerunner of the Lord Jesus. He was Jesus' slightly older cousin, and he had been selected by the Lord to be this unique prophetic figure who would proclaim the coming of the kingdom and the coming of the king, John the Baptist was the first Jewish prophet in 400 years, and he scandalized Israel by not calling people to the temple in Jerusalem, but rather calling them down to the Jordan River. And he scandalized them further by demanding that they be baptized. The Hebrew people understood baptism was something that was done as a rite for Gentiles who wanted to become proselytes, who wanted to worship the God of Israel. But here, John was commanding the Jews to get baptized to demonstrate their return to God in repentance. He was really the first Jewish prophet in 400 years. But I think John was shocked by his own imprisonment. Herod Antipas had taken offense at the ministry of John, particularly John's personal criticism of Herod, and had him imprisoned likely in Fort Machaerus, which was just southeast of the northern end of the Dead Sea. It was a very isolated location. John the Baptist was there imprisoned, and as he spent months in prison, he began to question, is this what I really thought it was? Is Jesus really the Messiah? Was I truly called by God to be the forerunner to the Christ? And John experienced a crisis of faith. And I want you to notice in verse 2 that the Lord Jesus is called Christ when John heard in prison what Christ was doing. Now, that doesn't strike us as very odd, except that what you may not have noticed is that Matthew has not used that term for the Lord Jesus since Matthew chapter 2, which is the Christmas story where the wise men came searching the Christ. Here, John calls him the Christ because it's emphatic that that's who the Lord Jesus was. He was the Christ, he was the Messiah, but John the Baptist, this significant New Testament character of the Gospels, was having doubts. Let me read to you a quotation I came across by Bible teacher R.C. Sproul. Here's what he says. John the Baptist and his ministry is a most underrated dimension of New Testament theology. Not only was he the first prophet from God in 400 years, but he radically called on Israel to do something that was not part of their covenant requirements, a baptism of repentance. And so after this brief period of ministry, John the Baptist finds himself in prison, and he's experiencing this crisis of faith. Let's go back to verse 2. When John heard in prison what Christ was doing, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else?" This is an agonizing question. John was questioning whether his own ministry was legitimate, or was it in vain? And John appears to have also been confused by the fact that Jesus was not seizing political and military control. We see that time and again in the Gospels, that even the Lord Jesus' disciples wondered the same thing. That's probably what led Judas to abandon the cause, to jump ship. He was expecting that Jesus was going to be a political and military leader, and when it became clear that that was not his agenda, Judas checked out. Notice, too, what John calls the Lord Jesus, the one who was to come. That was a messianic title in the Old Testament. The psalmists particularly looked forward to this one who would be the one to come. Notice in verses 4 and 5, Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you see and hear." The blind receive sight. And I'm sure when John heard that, because the Lord Jesus didn't answer yes or no, he just said, "You go back and tell John what you see and hear." The blind receive sight. That immediately John would have said, "Of course." The Old Testament never had a single incident of people being healed from blindness. But twice in the book of Isaiah, the Jewish people understood that Isaiah was predicting that when the Messiah came, blind eyes would be opened. That would be the irrefutable proof that the one who claimed to be the Messiah was in fact the Christ sent from God, opening blind eyes. But notice what the Lord Jesus says in verse 5. "The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and good news is preached to the poor." When the Lord Jesus replied to John's disciples, he chose to give a reply right from the book of Isaiah. It's a combination of a text from Isaiah 35 and from chapter 61. And really, the Lord Jesus gives him six signs: the blind receiving sight, the lame walking, leprosy cured, deafness healed, dead raised, good news preached to the poor. Verse 6. Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me. In its context, I think what the Lord Jesus is saying is, blessed, happy, prosperous spiritually is the person who is not confused by inaccurate misconceptions. And inaccurate misconceptions of the Messiah surrounded the ministry of the Lord Jesus, even in the minds of those closest to him, including the 12 and including John the Baptist. Verse 7. As John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. What did you go out into the desert to see? A reed swayed by the wind? John the Baptist was not subject to manipulation, or political correctness, or the influence of the powerful Jewish elite, nor was he subject to the influence by Herod himself. If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No, those who wear fine clothes are in king's palaces. Then what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. After the six signs, the Lord Jesus poses what shows in the New International Version as six questions, challenging people's perceptions of what they thought about John and of who John really was. This solitary figure with unusual clothing, unusual diet, who came from the wilderness, who took up the mantle of the Old Testament prophet Elijah and spoke with the power and spirit of Elijah. Verse 10, this is the one about whom it is written, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way before you. That's a quotation from Malachi chapter 3, verse 1, where the Father says to the Son, this one will prepare the way. John was the final prophet. He was the last prophet, but notice he was also the greatest of all the prophets. Verse 11, I tell you the truth, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. And then notice how verse 11 concludes, which is a wonderful promise to those who are followers of Christ in every place and in every era, including the present day. I tell you the truth, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist, yet he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he.